Welcome to episode 1186 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day, based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. We continue this week with our series, 1010 with Jesus, A Deeper Look. In this part of the series, we are examining various conversations Jesus had with a wide variety of people. Last week, we looked at conversations right before his crucifixion. This week, we look at conversations after the resurrection. It's early, so early that the sky is still inked with darkness when Mary Magdalene returns to the garden. The Passover Sabbath had ended. The city of Jerusalem is still asleep, but her heart is wide awake with grief, confusion, and a love that refuses to let go. She had been to the tomb once already that morning and had found it empty. Alarmed, she had run to tell Peter and John, who came, saw, and then left. But Mary had stayed, because grief doesn't leave so easily. Because love, once awakened, cannot be put back to sleep. She stands now outside the tomb, alone. The tomb was empty, but her heart was not. Mary Magdalene stands outside the grave weeping, grief coursing through her like a flood. She had already endured the trauma of the cross, the sight of her teacher crucified, his body broken, his breath gone. Now even the small consolation of anointing his body has been taken from her. The stone is rolled away, his body is missing.
Why? Why wasn't it enough to kill him? Why did they have to take his body too? Don't I deserve at least this, to grieve near him, to weep near the last piece of him left in this world?
She wipes her eyes, but the tears come again.
He gave me back my life. I had 7 demons. I had no control, no peace, no hope. I was a shell. And then he came, just spoke my name, and everything changed. I followed him everywhere. I believed he was the Messiah, the one who would redeem us. And now...
She steps closer to the tomb. Its yawning darkness gapes open like a wound. Bending down, she looked inside the tomb once more, as though this time the truth might be different.
Please, just let me find him.
But what she sees startles her. 2 angels, clothed in dazzling white, are seated where Jesus' body had once lain, one at the head and one at the feet.
Woman, why are you weeping?
They've taken my Lord away, and I don't know where they've put him.
She turns around, sensing someone else behind her. A man stands there. She does not recognize him, her eyes too full of tears, her heart too full of sorrow.
Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?
Supposing him to be the gardener, Mary pleads with this man.
Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him.
There is desperation in her voice, but also resolve. She is just one woman, but love makes her bold enough to try to carry what she could never bear alone. And then, he says her name.
Mary.
It is not just the sound of it. It is the way he says it. No one has ever said her name like that. Her heart stops. Her breath catches. The darkness shatters. Yes, it is her name, but it is far more than that. It is her identity, her story, her healing, her rescue, spoken not by a gardener, but by the risen Savior. And in an instant, she knows. The voice that calmed storms has just calmed her soul. The one who had called Lazarus from the tomb has now called her from the despair of death. Mary falls to her knees.
Rabboni!
In that one word, wonder collided with recognition, and hope exploded into joy. He was alive. Could it really be true? He was alive. Not just stolen. Not just disappeared. Not a ghost. Not a vision. But living. Breathing. Standing in front of her. The one who had delivered her from demons had now delivered the world from death. She reached toward him, wanting to cling and never let go again.
Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.
He gives her a mission. The woman, once bound by darkness, becomes the first messenger of resurrection light. While Peter and John had seen the empty tomb, it is Mary who sees the risen Lord. The once forgotten woman becomes the apostle to the apostles.
I have seen the Lord.
She runs again, this time not in grief, but in glory, not to mourn, but to proclaim. The tomb was empty, but her heart is full. And the world, though it didn't yet know, has just changed forever. Mary's encounter at the tomb is more than an emotional reunion. It is a commissioning. In her story, we see Jesus comes first to those who grieve, to those who wait, to those who love. He speaks our names with the authority of heaven and the affection of a friend. And when he sends us, it is with the assurance that resurrection is not just an event, it is a person. Mary saw him, and because of that, the world would never be the same. Let's get deep, what this reveals about Jesus. This encounter between Jesus and Mary is tender, personal, and powerful. It teaches us several things about who Jesus is and how he relates to us. Jesus meets us in our grief. He doesn't rush Mary's pain. He enters it. Before revealing himself, he asks her why she's crying. He lets her speak. He dignifies her sorrow. So often, we long for God to fix our pain instantly, but Jesus shows that he also wants to walk with us through it. Jesus calls us by name. In a world that often reduces us to labels, failures, or forgotten faces, Jesus sees us. He knows us intimately. For Mary, hearing her name was the moment of revelation. It is still the same today. Salvation begins not with religion or ritual, but with the shepherd calling his sheep by name. In that moment, we know we are seen and loved. Jesus commissions the brokenhearted. Mary was not chosen because of status or strength. She was chosen because of love and faith. The one who lingered in grief was entrusted with glory. She became the apostle to the apostles, the first to proclaim the resurrection. Jesus delights in using those the world overlooks. Our pain does not disqualify us. It often prepares us. Finally, Jesus reframes our relationship with God. My Father and your Father, he says. My God and your God. This is the language of inclusion, of adoption. Through his death and resurrection, Jesus opened the way for us to be sons and daughters of the Most High. No longer is God distant. He is now ours, yours and mine. We often come to Jesus like Mary did, full of tears, holding on to assumptions, searching for a Jesus who seems absent. But resurrection changes everything. Like Mary, we must learn to recognize the risen Jesus, not only in glory, but in the ordinary. He may come to us in the voice of a friend, in the peace of a prayer, in the whisper of our name. And when he does, we cannot cling to the old ways of knowing him. Do not hold on to me, Jesus said, not as a rejection, but as an invitation to a new kind of relationship. He would soon ascend, but his spirit would come. From that day on, his presence would no longer be limited to one place or person. He would be with us always. Today, if you are grieving, lost, or confused, if you're standing in the garden with more questions than answers, know this. Jesus is closer than you think. He knows your name, and he's calling. Father, thank you for the tender love you revealed through Jesus in the garden. Thank you for seeing us in our sorrow and calling us by name. When we feel lost or alone, remind us that your Son is alive and near. Give us ears to hear your voice, hearts to recognize your presence, and courage to proclaim the good news that Jesus is risen. May our lives bear witness to the hope of the empty tomb and the beauty of being known by you. That's our episode. Remember, God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full. Today.